I have a feeling that your three friends who communicated during those months together are probably still communicating, even though you say you're not communicating.
That's possible, yes.
I think it's quite likely. How could you not be resonant with, at some level?
Yes. That's possible.
I think people who know about Gebser's work,
yes,
are resonant with a kind of understanding, mm, even though they're not communicating, mm, about it. Mm. And with Sri Aurobindo's work, mm, there are many levels of resonance that are created, mm, by that contact. Mm. And there is some communication going on that is moved by the source of that formation.
Yeah.
And in fact, with Sri Aurobindo, it was quite deliberate,
yeah,
to use speech and sound, mm, to initiate a process of change. Mm. Very deliberate. Mm.
We had an visitor in our home near Tübingen, in the southern part of Germany. He came from Switzerland, and he wanted to know about something of the sound stones. And I have a lot of stones from Switzerland, from the southern part. It's one of, for me, one of the greatest countrysides in the world. It's near Sils Maria, where, for example, Nietzsche lived, and Richard Strauss composed his Also sprach Zarathustra and so on. And, there I take a stone, it's called serpentinite. It looks like a serpentine, le serpent, die Schlange. And I love him very much. It's had much pressure. And this man is the director of a foundation. He came to us and stayed one day, and I played with him. It's a big one, it's about 250 kilograms, and I always call him my Stradivari, because he's one of the developed instruments, and a stone is developing to come into sound. At first, not really so here in Auroville, the sounds we just make here, because here it's normally very hot. In Switzerland, it's normally very cold. Yeah. And if you take a stone from the mountains out of it, he has about 30 to 40% water in it. And it's always very, very cold and solid. And it takes me about 7 to 9 years to get this water out of the sun, of the stone. Yeah. It's going very, very slowly. But when he's in my atelier and is just have a normal temperature, it just works in this way. Now this town is about 30 years. I played with him 30 years. I played nearly 200 concerts. I think I have taken him over the world. And this man came here and I introduced all the stones. I have in my room, I have about 50 to 60 sound stones, different heights, till one tone, from the little one till one tone. Tone as a 1,000 kilogram, for example, that's the big ones. And there's also much resonance in this room. And when stone is sounding, the others are getting into resonance with the other, and they are learning from him very good. And I played with this big one and played half an hour. And when I stopped, he sat there, he spoke no word. We just drank a cup of tea. He didn't speak. I didn't speak, I played. Why should I speak? And after some time, he's just, I've heard all the knowledge of the world. And he said, I woke up in a, I grew up in a, little valley in Switzerland. I've been a boy from a little farmer there, and I had to go with the different elements to go out in the valley, far away, high, low valleys, high mountains, so all the meadows there. And when my mother called me to come for dinner, I heard it from the echo of the mountains, how long it will take me to come home. And I grew up in a knowledge of hearing the echo as an information in life. And I heard this echo now coming in a clear way from this stone. And I have all this, what I learned in the first 10 years of my life, I just heard in this half an hour when you have played the stone. That's a good example for resonance. Yeah? It's just this what Tomatis told, that if he told that you have the first cells in your body are coming from the sound you hear and from the sound of your mother's voice at the first. And this you are remembering the whole life. And when something isn't going on really, you have to get this sound and these music, because there's not only the sound, but it's the whole music. And when you can find this key in yourself, you are in this way, just what I call the musica humana, the human kind of music in yourself. It's an information which is just in the cells from the beginning of your life. And Tomatis found out, he had so a lot of patients that had been with him, children who had, after 10 years living, they stopped speaking. I didn't want to speak anymore, and no doctor could find out why they didn't speak. And once he tried with different languages, and with one patient I know, he found it out that one began to speak English as a family voice began to speak English in a different way, and the child just began to speak. She woke up, it was clear. He asked the mother, "Do you speak English?" She said, "No, I don't speak English." And the next week she came and said, "Oh, I know. And this time, when this child had been in my body, I just worked in a factory where I had to telephone each time to England and to speak about the things they had to do with England. And that was the sound the child just remembered in the cell." And when you just can combine it in this way, when you find this connection, you can, the child woke up and speak and all was okay. After working on it. That's also with this man. He just heard the echo and he had this feeling that in this echo he understood the whole world. He understood the world where he was coming from.
Question on maybe in relationship to Aravind also. You've been for so many years deeply in Western music, and that Western music system, as you said, in China, Korea, Japan, South America, it's everywhere exported. Basically, those countries are colonized by the Western music system. Now, as another example, you said you have this school with the stones. Do you have a perception of? Is there something with a global consciousness coming, or a different relationship between the countries? There's a new music, is there a new language of music, or what? Will it be a mixture of all, what is world music, of the traditional musics, or, because so far still the Western system has that, it has a certain status, because it goes together with intellect. That's why the Chinese and the Koreans and the Japanese, they are so hot for it. They want to imitate the accomplishment of the West, and the first thing is to take the Western system. Do you see some other possibilities of what will the role be of Western music? Because from your perspective, you say it's also kind of like in its decline, what you said about the symphony orchestras. Is there something else which could take the place of it? Or?
I think the Western music is still in a state which I call the mental. Mm-hmm. It's just a kind of thinking where you all can control very clearly from your brain, and in the Western, the music in this mental thinking is, as I think, and I can tell it with one word, it's only business at the moment. There's no philosophy behind it. There's no human thinking about it. It's, you know, as a composer of new music in the Western thinking, music, you don't have to have you don't have to have fun when you hear music. It's not possible to be happy, for example. It's not possible to laugh about it. If you laugh about it, you have to be serious. You have to be sit down and
in the avant-garde.
In the avant-garde, you must be very interested and very. If there are many spectators and many, it's bad for the music. There's only a few. A few people in the audience, you have to hear it, then it's good music. That's at the moment, for example, the situation in new music, in the avant-garde class. The avant-garde don't want to spread their thinking about. Yeah? Each of the composers has this feeling. He's the one who knows what's going on in the world, what is thinking, his own philosophy, and he says it to the conductor, he has to do it exactly in this way, not in another way, and he thinks he will move the world. But yes, we are always in this, what I've before called the hierarchy of the three layers, the composer, the conductor, and the musicians. Yeah? And it's very complicated at the moment to play such a composition of a new musician. It's very, very hard to play. It's very low paid. Yeah? No composer can live with it. Yeah? All the composers have to teach, but they don't like to teach. It's a very confusing thing at the moment. The other thing is that the pop music, as I say, the popular form of music, is the biggest business in the world, you know? When you go to the Rolling Stones and in the stadium, you pay about nearly 500 euro for one ticket. That's normal. If you go to Madonna, it's 280, something like this, and so on. It's really bombastic. I just made a research, and when I wrote the book about the sound science, I made a research because I found out with my publisher, they said to me, we wanted to make a book which is called Music Therapy. And we think we have a very, very famous author with it. That would be one of the best books. That didn't sell anything. They sold, I think, 150 books. I said to them, you have to change it into sound therapy. Then about 20,000. When you now look into, I would just explain afterwards what I'm thinking about this. When you go into the internet and you go to Google, in the German way I put the term Musik in it, you have 80 to 90% only MP3 Dateien and so on. Yeah? You have already, you have the whole business. You see the whole business. Yeah? It's a crazy. And when you go into Klang, the German part of sound, you find all the systems for the health. You have Klang massage, Klang beds, Klang rooms, and so on. Yeah. But this old thinking that you find in music, you find something which is one which deals with the spirit or thinking about it, you don't find it. It's not that. And I think that's the Western thing is just stayed in this mental thing. There had been Johann Ernst Behrendt tried it in the 16th to combine Indian musicians with German avant-garde or German jazz musicians and so on. That that just went away. There had also been no philosophy about it. He had only tried to get this connection with it. I think, and it's a little a pity to say it in this way, but I think the Western music is dying at the moment. The systems are dying. Because if you do only business and you have no thinking and you have no philosophy behind it, it doesn't want to go anymore. We have a going down with the symphony orchestras. When we have to, for example, when a new violinist has to get his job in the orchestra, we have normally for one of the lowest forms we have at the moment about 500 to 700 fantastic musicians who wanted to have this job. They have highest degrees from the universities, and the orchestra says we can't begin. Which should we invite? Which person should we invite when we have 500 to 700 with examination as the highest degree? That's impossible. Yeah? That's when my son now would come and say, I want to be a violinist for an orchestra, I have to say, stop it, yeah? You won't get any job. And you have to look for different jobs. You know, when I was studying music, I studied a lot of Indian music. It had been in this 17th, and just in this thinking, as I told about Behrend, and we had a teacher coming from India. She studied music in India. And in my thinking, I think the Indian music is in this time, the traditional Indian music, the classical Indian music is the highest form of musical culture in the world. Because they always looked for all the influences which came in, they always looked on the influences. They looked, which is good, which can we need for our culture? They took it, and the other they ignored. In the Western way, they all wanted to have what's coming in. Fantastic, a new thing, a new thinking, a new element. Wow, what's great. And then comes minimal music, and then comes electronic music, and then comes, and all is spreading out. That's just the moment in China. The Chinese people come to us. We have 70% students, 70 to 80% students coming from China, Korea, and Japan. And at the moment, you know, we have singers for the opera classes from China. But you can't let them sing Mozart operas as Chinese singers in Salzburg. That's not possible. They can't get on the stage. You can do it, for example, in Peking. Yeah? You can do it, but not in this way. They sing perfect. Absolutely perfect. Because what are they doing? They're taking all the discs they have, can have, and they are imitating 100%. You can have these Chinese students, and you can say, that's Callas, that's Ludwig, Bach, Bach, Bach. Exactly. But you can't find out what's the student. You don't find any personality. They are very busy. They are coming at the earliest to university, and they are the latest who are going out. Absolutely busy. But I want to teach them anymore. I stopped teaching them. I had a Korean, the last student I taught in composition had be a Korean student. And in 4 years, I couldn't find out what his possibilities are and what is his personality. In 4 years, he didn't find a language of music which I could find out that it's his own language. He couldn't. It wasn't possible. He was very busy. He made great scores. He brought me and I said, "That's Stockhausen. That's Isenjung. That's Ligeti. That's this and so on." Said, "No, that's me." I said, "No, I can't show you. I took the score of Stockhausen, I took the score of Ligeti, I took the score of..." And I just said, "You see, that's exactly this measure from here to there. You have exactly copied." He copied Perfect. Very fine. Accept it. And it doesn't. Because of this, in this area, when we speak about from music in these four musical culture thinking, in the Greece thinking, and all of what's going on the Western is always based on the Greece thinking. Yeah? The second, the Indian thinking, which is just fantastic alive, as my opinion. The Chinese thinking, which has one of the greatest past, one of the greatest developments in music, the 2,000 or 3,000 years before, but which doesn't exist anymore. No one knows it. And the Arabian system. The Arabian system is very complicated at the moment because the religion is just throwing down it. Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah? I know it from the Sufis in Turkey. When they have really problems to play in different countries because it's not allowed to make music. Yeah? You know, Afghanistan, for example, the Taliban, they forbid to make music in this way. Because at the moment, the Arabian musicians, you can't say what's going on there. The Chinese is only Western. They buy all. They came to us at the university and say, please give us 10,000 teachers. I said, it's not possible, we only have 1,700 students we can't give you. I take them all with me. Yeah? The minister for culture came there. And in China there had been the greatest thinking of music coming out of the stones. There is the origin thing, it's coming there. I have Confucius played the sound stone. Yes, we know it from. And we have also this. But in the time when Mao had thrown all away, all these sound stone plays have been broken, and you find it now in Toronto in the museum and so on. But I get many colleagues of China said, "Yeah, they are coming. The sound stones are coming from your country." Oh, which is coming from my country, and they don't know anything about it. Yeah, I think. The Chinese culture is you can compare it with the German or with the Western music. Western is always developing, filling up, and then after have fulfilled all, it breaks, and then another epoch is coming, and it begins from the beginning again. Where the Western is going, we say in Salzburg, we have the privilege to be guest of seeing how the culture is going down.
You mentioned as a word cooperative and empathy.
Yes.
Could you teach us to play together, starting with your guidance, to make together music, in the sense you like it? The simple things?
Yes.
This is possible?
Yes.
So you are united in empathy and
yes.
In listening and doing something really joyful?
Yes.
Why not start a new culture of music like this?
You can do it, yes.
Yeah. So is this a future of music? Where do you see the future going? In your sense, what would you like to have?
Oh,
we are sitting here for the future, you see.
I answer with words, not with music.
Yeah, of course. We know. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I think that that we don't use the possibilities which are in the senses of hearing, playing music, listening, also in the brain. If we as musicians are capable to think 8 layers at the same time. And if we could manage to change it into different forms of activity, that when we can think it, we can in any part of our brain can think as an assistant 8 layers. And we can change it in different forms of activities, I think that would be a fantastic possibility to live.
As you said, the application of the musical thinking into life activities, things. Into attitudes towards life. Yeah. Then naturally there would be cooperation and unity, consciousness.
It's a very difficult question. For me is playing with the stones. With if I would have a chance to work with you, I would work with you one day with the stones, and after that day, you will have my answer.
Well, let's have it. Exactly the class that you do with your students.
Yes.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. You need a day. You need one day.
Half a day, day.
Half
How many sufficient time?
No. Oh, he's even asking practically, do we have enough stones?
They have to be a special state, shape?
Yes.
Ah. Well, we can start looking.
Yeah. But what we could do is a possibility, for instance, of spending some time with the stone and with the sound. Because now, as you said, it's all birds, but we would have a possibility, and there's a possibility also of trying the impossible.
We can.
You know, when you teach the children with these stones, yes. That class.
That's also possible, but the higher form is the form with the sound stones.
Well, let's start with this one.
Would there be time while you're here for us to
yes.
to have a more concentrated sound workshop?
Yes, we can do. For me, we can do. How many we have? 5 stones at the moment, I think. Ein drei stehen da und zwei sind noch draußen.
Five
to 6 stones, yeah? That can work. When will you do it? Tomorrow morning?
No, we prepare the stones, we need preparation.
Okay.
You speak about the sound stones,
yes.
The beautiful instruments. You speak about just.
They've taught them with different languages. Because here we have so many different languages.
Yes.
Just like in your
class. I just try to find an answer for the future of music. Yeah? And the real answer for me is this, what's in the sound stones. And I think, for example, working with the sound stones, and we look for a date, mm-hmm. and if Sunday can be, we have to,
tomorrow is Sunday.
Monday.
Could go tomorrow afternoon also.
Monday morning?
Tomorrow is AVI meeting.
Yeah, okay.
So
we can take a look. I can arrange it for Monday. Depends on here. We can announce maybe Monday morning is also possible.
Monday morning?
No. We can do an afternoon.
Afternoon,
I think
I'll check
on an afternoon. Do something between like 3 and 5 or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's also one thing. As we haven't learned to knead our hands. Yeah? We knead our hands by greeting, for example, by eating and so on, but not by getting informations for it. When, for example, I make with the students, I make an exercise. That's an exercise, for example. Please sing towards me. Sing towards me.
I sing.
Yeah, just to sing.
Yeah.
Okay. I say to the students, you hear? There's a sound coming from here. Yeah. The sound is coming. I say always, look. There's a C major chord coming to you. The door is opening. He's coming in, and you should greet him. What are you doing with the sound? What are you doing? Let him through. Okay, let him through. Greet him. Take him with the hand.
yo.
This oh. Only with the hand. That's it. Only with the hand. Only with the hand. Just as a person. This is a person. Yeah? He has. This is. Music is always like a person. Music coming out from the loudspeakers, there's no person. But when he's singing, the sound is coming from him to you. And you are reagating what you are doing. I say to him, if you are singing, sing to him. I let him through. Yeah? It's going there. I don't want to hear it. Otherwise, when we are singing, please, once again. I greet him. Yeah. You know, that's a way to make it very, very simple. To make the music as a person. Each sound, to get a person, each sound which is now sounding, coming from here, has a body. It's a body. When it's very loud, you get like this, yeah? You feel like this. Just as a wind is coming, yeah? You feel it in your body. Yeah? And now, you have to be aware how you are reagating of it. That's one of the first steps to get sensible for the sound. Yeah? To have a feeling of this sound. Just as when you meet somebody, someone is coming in the door and so on, and that's the invisible person coming to you. And that's to look at do you want him? Do you want the sound? Or do you want not? Do you don't want it? Do you like it? Are you reagating? What are you doing?
Klaus,
yes.
We've been discussing an integral approach,
yes,
to knowledge. And I was just thinking that what you're emphasizing right now in the exchange of sounds seems to be coming on a kind of social, interpersonal level.
Yeah.
You could also be communicating something which is particularly structured and harmonic for a reason. Or you could be communicating something that is metaphysical and esoteric and psychological.
Yeah, really.
I mean, a lot of the kind of sound that you use to communicate can have an intention.
Yes.
Or it can be unconscious and it can come from the cells or,
yes,
or from the mind or from whichever plane.
Yes.
So it might be interesting to pursue a system of sound production which is more or less consciously coming from some plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we assume that there's the physical and the vital and the mental and the psychic, mm-hmm, and the spiritual and many levels of the spiritual, at least seven or eight, then this the application of these principles of sound that you're advocating, time and tone,
yes,
and then purpose, intent, and then the evolution of structure, you could begin with a hypothetical effort like this to look at music and sound from these different planes,
mm-hmm,
the planes of which we are made,
yeah,
our existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might be communicating all the levels of our existence,
yeah,
through whatever medium we choose.
It's walk in the nature. Each morning I go out before, in the night I go out and I always walk from the night to the beginning of the day in Salzburg. When I wake up at 4, begin to work at 4:30, and 6:30, I go out. And I just stand in one of the nice places there, the mountains, and it's dark, and I begin to hear. I begin to understand the plan and the structure of what's around me. That's what I call the music of the earth. I begin to, first of all, I get a feeling and a consciousness of what is in there. Sometimes I feel the wind, I hear it from this mountain or hear it from the town and so on. Yeah? Sometimes no wind, it's very fun. And then I begin to walk in with my structure, in this structure. I begin to walk and I hear my shoes rubbing and the little stones or in the meadow and the ice in the last 2 months with the snow in the morning, very fine. Always different. And I always hear when I walk, this plan is changing. I have another function in this. And that's my first sound communication in the day. That what I am going in, and now in after that hour I'm walking in it and feeling my pulse, feeling my pulse in relationship to all the pulses I see and feel in this area which is around me. And I always walk when I see the sun coming up, and we have one of the magic mountains there, it's called the Untersberg, it's one of the fourth places in Austria, great place with great caves in it and so on. And the sun is coming from the left side when I'm walking out in the mountains there. And then this the top of the mountain where there's as the beginning of November we have snow in Austria, and the snow is there, and you see the first sun is just lightening this little snow there. And you see a light, and
it's a very high
yes, and you see this combination. I haven't spoken about this, but there is in when the beginning of the evolution, we have also this combination between light and sound, and we have also this that we call it the die leuchtende Morgenröte, the lightning morning.
Dawn.
Yes.
Sounding dawn.
Sounding dawn. This combination between these things. And that's one of the fascinating to hear what the light, how the light is sounding. And that's also something like this which we just and be aware of all the sounds. When you come in at some place, you open the door, you hear. What's about your feeling of this? The resonance you get from this, what's going on, and I always make it as a composer, composition instruction. I say, when you make a sound, you give it to another, and what he's doing with it, and then it's coming back.
Well, I'll say something which nobody will understand, but Sri Aurobindo has used this principle in his poetry. Quite deliberately. And this sound of dawn is a very characteristic sound in Savitri and in many of Sri Aurobindo's poems. And it can only be heard after you have delved into the night and you have gone through all of the planes and the voice begins to resonate with many different levels of poetic rain.
Yes.
And then there is a moment when that image comes and the sound flows as if it were a stream, just a mountain stream. It's not like the voice anymore.
No.
It's something else entirely, and it actually achieves a tonal resonance, a very high pitched resonance. The overtones in the poetry are exactly the expression of that visual light quality, where sound and sight and image coincide absolutely on that point. You can only understand this if you have performed this poetry, I would say, many times, you know, but it's there. And his range of poetry is unbelievably extensive. And so this was a process of evolution of sound and image that is extraordinary, but it's to be discovered. It's something that we don't hear often.
Yeah, to pick it up actually from what Freud was saying, I would like to know if your own experience, you have identified sounds or groupings of sounds that could be the expression of states of consciousness.
Can you please explain it once more?
In your own experience,
yes,
you have identified sounds that are clearly the expression,
yeah,
of states of consciousness, let's say joy or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking of emotion,
yes,
I'm speaking of state of consciousness.
Yes, yes. For me, it's the sound of the sounds. I have this experience each day. Because speaking of, not about emotion, speaking about consciousness. People ask me, do you have stones which you like more than the other? I was very astonished about the question. I said, no, I have no stones which I like more than the other. And they say, but when you're feeling not so good every morning, the stone doesn't reagate perhaps. And I said, no, that's no feeling of my emotion. That's when I'm clear to find a cooperation, or call it empathy, in between human beings, then in the stone, I say, to find a cooperation, to find out which kind of musical thinking this is in the stone. Then I stay with myself, in me, in my consciousness, and the stone is, and it began to develop something between us. And that's the highest form of consciousness I can have. And that's also, I like to be in India, because the Indian philosophy has this, that the thinking of the matter is the thinking of sound in the matter. And to combine it in myself, to combine my human music with the music of I don't say material stone, of this tone as a part of the music of the earth. Yeah? I find out in this working, I find out what's the structure and this plan of music in the structure of time, in the order of time, in the order of consciousness is. And that's because I'm so absolutely fond to play the music of the stones. It's the best thing I ever can find. And at the moment, I just work hard on it. At the moment, I can play about 4 hours, not more. After 4 hours, my whole personality and consciousness is changing. It's not bad, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I had this 3 times. I had been so far away, not after playing, but in the night. It comes later. It comes not at the moment. At the moment you get a really high feeling of being very, very strong, very clear, very fine and so on. But in the night I woke up, I sat in my bed, I had a feeling that all my nerves were vibrating at this. I saw this picture before me, and I had the consciousness that at some place some beings where they had no really personal things, they discussed if it's right what I'm doing. Yeah? I sat there about half an hour in the bed. For me, I had a feeling or a consciousness, I call it feeling now, expression. I had a feeling that it doesn't matter what's going on. When they say no, I have to die, it's okay. When they say continue to work, it's okay. It was absolutely natural and normal. It was absolutely okay for me to do it in this way. Because I know that I have gone a little too far with it. And I have to work on it to get this distance. And I had it 3 times, and after half an hour, I got the message, continue to work in this way, but be careful. And then I looked exactly on my schedule, And I never played more than 4 hours. Yeah. I can play, as a comprehension, I can play 14 hours piano. And after 14 hours, my brain is changing. I can't control what I'm doing. I've made this experience. I've played long time, 14 hours, and exactly after 14 hours, it's just a limit. After 14 hours, I play a sonata, and two measures are absolutely great, and the third, I just as an elevator, I go down, gently down. It changed like this, and I stop playing, because it's terrible. Your whole consciousness is working in this. And with the sound, it's at the moment about 4 hours. It's very hard. Because of this, I'm very, very careful also by teaching. By teaching students, I'm very, very careful. Because these informations, which you get in your hands, and we have great research at the moment in the Western, not in the music universities, but in the auto industry. Mercedes-Benz and Schindler and Motors have the greatest laboratories for haptic, we call it. You can get so many informations in your hands by touching that you have to learn to use it. And I can, when I work with the sounds, the students at my university, with the sound, the bigger ones, I can play with students who, I have also students who aren't studying music with me, who are studying art or studying medicine and so on, but they come to me. I now have, after 1 year working, they can play with both and four layers at the same time. That's an example how to develop the possibilities of us. Not that we are always getting more and more and more and more, but to find out what we didn't use really for us in a human development.
A little while ago you were talking about your experience when you wake up early in the morning and you go out and you walk and you listen. Listen to your own sound and the sound of the earth. And you went on like that for a while. And as you were talking, it seemed like light was coming into my auditory. I don't know what it is. It seemed like I was seeing and hearing what you were talking about, and light was coming into it in a way that was making it I don't know what the word is, but I realize I'm using sound and light. It's like light was coming into the sound. Can you talk about the relationship between light and sound? I don't know whether that's a good question or not.
No, I think that's long, a long theme. It's a great theme to speak about this cosmology. To go on the beginning of the earth, to go back, because there's all with sound and developing of sound combined with developing of lungs. Not with speaking of sound, that's very much later. And also not by becoming something solid. The solid is always this, what we called the Versteinerung. To the
petrification.
That's always tops. It's solid. You can look on it. You can put a number on it. You can put. You can research on it. But you, light and sound are always developing. Are always walking. Are always flowing. Also light in another temple. as the stone. The stone is very, very slow in his development, but his long developments of time. So the light is just going in this pulse. It's changing its color, and when you combine this changing of color with this, what I spoke about music, that the music is not the height of the tone you have to think about, not the frequency which you have to put a number on it, yeah? But the whole thing that is color. And light is always color. It's always changing of color. And when you know by hearing it in your, when I read a score and I see the score and I see in the score the sound and feel it in myself, the sound, in my brain, in my consciousness, in my emotion, in my total personality, I also feel this and hear this when I see lights. And when you are outside and see light, there's always sound. Just as we begin here and said silence. It's no silence. It's always light. Always light. In the night, in the morning, different forms. And if you get a feeling of this sound, a thinking, this thinking of music, just as I spoke, this higher form of musical combination, not this in the four bar measure and so on as we make music, but in this higher form of time structure, these are, then you come nearer to this, that it's really a combination between two elements, but in me it resonates as a sound.
I want to make one comment on that, because it's quite interesting to see how the sound and why you always try to put it away from the word, and what would be the really distinction between the two. Though I see no big difference, and truly speaking, because the word was misused and very much mentalized, and I understand that resistance to include it into that natural vibration of the being, of consciousness. But the word itself was a vibration of consciousness and being, and itself cannot be lying, can be only true, but can be misplaced into different contexts, and by that misplacement lie. When you say that the musician cannot lie with his music because what he does is already representing the state of consciousness, it's quite true. Yes? The same with speech. Speech is not lying, as sound is not lying, but because the context in which it is presented will have this difference, and that difference is recognized. Regarding also these levels, eight levels of simultaneous thinking, there is the whole technique developed in India, which is called Avadhana. Mm-hmm. Avadhana is this multiple concentration, mm-hmm. where the poet, in poetic terms, can compose simultaneously poems ordered to him at one time at a round, every verse at a round. So I compose for the first verse the first line, then for the second verse the first line, and so on. And it is not only eight times, there are 100 Prichakas who are asking you to compose 100 poems, one line at a time, at a round, and there are thousands also. And this thing is going for 21 days. He sits there without writing, without anything, everything in his mind, and 100,000 poems, one round, all different tasks, meters. All different meters, all different poems. Second round, second line. Third round, third line. And in the end, he gives all these 1,000 poems back to you in order as they should be. And it takes him one day to give it back, 1,000 poems. But it is all stored in his multiple audio memory, which we do not have. We didn't develop. It's the Indian development. Of course, they learned texts like Rig Veda and all Vedas, several Vedas by heart, in all those particularities of accentuation and articulation from their childhood. They developed immense power of audio memory. So I would rather look for this cooperation between this beautiful vision of sound and also word, where they really match, rather than put it aside saying that it is already corrupted. Because at the beginning was the word. What was the word?
It was
articulated consciousness. So the sound was the vibration of consciousness. Whether it is musical expression, it's vibration, or it is articulated intentional expression. I think every sound is intentional in some deep sense. Yes. It can't be that it is just sounding because it has nothing to do. Yes. So, in a way, it's all communicating in some way, only we do not have keys here to read that language. So what would you say about it?
You know, I spoke about the circumstances I'm living in. And as I say, music it's impossible to lie as a musician. It's provocation. Really. If you say this in Austria at my university, it would be a really great thunderstorm of reactions. Oh, God! Impossible to say something like this. Yeah. The use of language, the use of speaking, has been is in a very, very hard disorder at the moment in the Western culture. It spreads in this way, very, very hard. Yeah. The political persons are terrible by using this. They are just that's for me this term of it. Yeah, I know this, and because of this I know all these things also about Indian things. Because of this I also believe that the Indian culture, and especially for me naturally the Indian musical culture and the long history of Indian classical music, is the only culture which is now possible in the world to be something like, for example, world music, for example, or give a rebirth for many things. Yes, how it's this thinking, yes. And in the other way, because I have the same opinion. Yes, by this, where are you coming from? And I'm thinking on. Yeah? But in the Western thinking, and that was my first thing to speak about here. In this Western culture at the moment, you have really terrible use of language. Really, really bad, terrible. You have some very good writers who have really high level on it. But in the normal way, it's. As in at the university, where you can think, we are the best musicians, we have the best musicians in the world. But it's very, very complicated to speak and to use this, what's in the music, for the language. That's what I would like to do, to have. That this is what you are able as a musician to think. And that what I say about these eight layers, that's also something. Aurelio just told me yesterday that when this term of thinking you have in the system you are speaking about here in this round, there's this relationship to psychology. At the moment we have in the Western not so much the psychology. I think the psychology will go down. We see it as an academic, yes, and as a profession to it. Yeah. We have at the moment the neurologists. Yeah. That's at the moment. That's what's breaking all the words. They say all the things that there's no individuality, there's no culture, there's all going only in chemical processes, it's before, and so on. Yeah? That's necessary to know. Yeah? And because of this, we have some scientists who say you musicians are able to think in eight layers. That we can prove from the neurologists. We know it. We know it because we can play a piece of music with 8 different voices. We can play, we can do it. Because that's, I agree absolutely with this, what you have said. This, I said, this little thing in language or in speaking, which just say that this is a table, isn't so necessary, but that in comprehension to this, how I spell this word, how I speak this word, in which kind I speak this word, table or tish or something like this. Yeah? It's much more information about this, how I speak it, as to say that is this. Because there are so many tables in this room. When I say table, and you say, yeah, which kind of? Yeah? And you can spell it in this way, as when you speak it in a musical way, you can get much more information to it, to a table, if it's round or if it's in this way, and so on. Yeah? And if we begin to work on it, to find out that our musical expression in language could be much more different and much more fine, and we can listen. Yeah? It's fine to speak not so much, but very careful and very clear. That's one of my future aims. Yeah? And to understand in short, clear sentences, speaking in melody, harmony and rhythm. And that's this, what I know from the Vedan and so on, from teaching it in the Indian way.
What I'm aiming at, you are moving into the subjective age, basically, which we will call subjective age or integral paradigm.
Yes.
Where the creation has to come from you.
Yes.
For according to you, lie is the imitation of some perfection. For example, what is lie in speech? Mm-hmm. Speech sounds true, mm-hmm. but in reality, there is no real participation.
Yes.
It is made, it is performed for others to believe that it mm-hmm. is true. Mm-hmm. But it has completely different agenda within the being.
Yeah.
The same way you are so dissatisfied with those singers, mm-hmm. who are perfect singers, but that is not their being.
Yes.
That is not their vibration.
Yes.
So they will perform to you their own, not their own vibration, which breaks you down because
yes.
you do not believe it,
yes.
though it is perfect in form.
Yes.
So you want to engage us into this subjective recognition and always create a way of dealing with reality.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
You know, I always had this feeling to live in sound. You have now, we have, it's a nice place, but the sound, you know, is terrible, which is coming from all, and it's always disturbing. You hear it, yeah? This building is fine, but it's not created out of sound. It's not created as the great temples here, not the great churches. We have the old Roman or Gothic churches in Europe, for example. Best example is Chartres, for example. Chartres is I know a church in France which is built as a body, as a lying body, and you can stand on the ice and you see all, but only standing here you see behind you and so on. If you stand on the ears, you hear it, what's going on in this, and so on. And you hear all the human music in your body. And I have friends who are Catholic priests. After that, they know that's not enough to do. They have studied psychology, made the doctor in psychology. After that, then it's not enough to do. And they studied medicine, and they're doctors of medicine. And this is their church where they're living each summer. And they are getting themselves in this vibration, in this resonance, by walking and singing and hearing and looking each day in this church. Only walking around and find out on which place there is the brain, which place they can learn seeing, can learn hearing, and so on. And to develop buildings, to develop landscapes, to develop this our own being in this living in sound. I had the opportunity that 7 years ago in Germany, one man who has a great factory there, building great houses, and it's I know you will, when you are in the computer business, you know perhaps SAP. It's one of the greatest computer, it's one of the chiefs of it. And he bought a great area, and he put 150 million euro. And he said, I want to change this into living room. And he heard of my thinking of sound. He said, well, what's that living in the sound? I have a building with nice windows and nice materials and floors and so on. And it's good. Well, why? And I brought him into buildings. And with the sound stunts, you can do it. I went in an old church in nearby where I live. And this church, there is no ceremony, I think, about 20 or 30 years. But this church is fantastic. It's a fantastic floor, and there are only 3 concerts each year. But they are playing Mozart and so on. And it doesn't matter, because when the sound is coming, it's coming only up here. And Mozart is coming up here again. Yeah? But if you are living sound, the sound has come from the floor. Yeah? And the floor is building the whole. Then you come into sound. And I took my Stradivari with me, and we were there. It was, and I said, look, I play, and this Stradivari, he felt only from the knees, yeah, to here. He said, oh, it sounds fantastic. He said, no, it doesn't sound fantastic. It's only this, what the Western are thinking. The Western feel only in their brain. But you have to feel it pulsing in a circle around you. It has to come back and then go to your feet again. And I played 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours with the Stradivari, and I brought all the floor around me, 60 quadrat meters, I brought into resonance. And he stood there, he put his, afterwards I didn't say anything, he put his shoes on, he stood there, like this. And they said, and now I feel what you are thinking about living into sound. I feel the sound in my whole body, not only in some different places. I'm not thinking about music, hearing, looking, and so on. It's getting he doesn't know the expression resonance. He doesn't know it. Yeah? He's just a computer specialist. He doesn't know about resonance. And I said, after all, I explained resonance without taking the word. Yeah? And I just said, afterwards, I said, you see, that's the real form of living. And in Salzburg, we had an apartment which has made research in how music is working with illnesses. And I found out that 70% of all illnesses in the world come from, not from loud music, not from the disco of the young people. When the young people go to disco, in this research, it's only 0.5%. It's low as now. But living in a wrong way of sound. Yeah, that's the old churches and the old temples here, the old Indian temples where the priests are playing the pillars with the hand and bringing the whole into sound. There you live in it, and there you are very healthy. But you live in the wrong way when you are not living, and that's a very complicated system. What did I do? I first began to build gardens. Because the architect of the gardens, the other architects, they have been so famous, they said, okay, a musician. Musician. What should a musician tell us about playing, building houses? After 6 years, it had become a little better. But about seeing and hearing, I think it's some very interesting thing for you. We thought for this whole area, where they at the moment live now about 1,200 people are living. It's near finished. We looked for the klima, for the weather and so on. We looked for the temperature, and we found out that this area is near Heidelberg in Germany, that this area is very combinable to Italy. And Italy has a very open music form, Italy opera. Verdi is, as you hear it, and it's just resonating. Wagner is much too complicated. It doesn't work. Mozart, we didn't want really to have, but we had it once. Because I thought about how can I bring the architect to a way that that what I just said, the order of time in music and the order of sound, the harmonics, the melodics, how can I bring this to a structure of the gardens? I first took the Traviata, La Traviata, Giuseppe Verdi. I took the first, I think it had been perhaps 16 bars or 30 bars, I don't know exactly. I wrote it on the normal score, just above 100. I wrote it in a normal way to, as a piano score. But the architect couldn't read it. I showed him how the tensions are, how the harmonics are, the rhythmic sections and so on. I made it notation, space equal to time, exactly in the same way. And we had a garden for, I think, 110 meters, I think. And we put this call, we had to build this garden in this way, 4 meters and 110, I think, this way. Then I began to look, how can I make this score, how can I make lines out of it? Because when you see a note, it's ba 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 bi ba. I mean, it, but that's what you hear. You don't hear ba 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 ba. You have these phrases on and so on. You have a nice melody. And then I made it in this way, and I put colors on it. The lines for the note I put away and so on, and I made the I called it the Tonraum, the room of the tones. I put it in a three-dimensional way and so on. I made the harmonic in the tensions. I made a lot of things and I made big pictures out of it. And then there came the architect of the garden once said, "Now I understand what you're meaning." First, with the notes, he didn't understand. And then we built this garden as the score of Traviata. No one should know it. It's not necessary that you hear the Traviata. Perhaps if you want, you can do it. But the people went through the garden and said, "Oh, fine. What's that? That's a different garden. But I feel well there." And the producer who gave the money, they have been very successful with these buildings. they sold all the buildings very, very fast. And that's not so necessary for me. For me, it has been necessary to say that the structure and the plan of the music, which I now have in this hearing and seeing, and this combination, just
visually.
Just as we spoke about the thing, that I made it now, and we built La Traviata, we built a wonderful place with Rigoletto, we built an Aida garden, which in the Italian way went up four floors up, You know these Italian gardens, which are not on the floor, which are... And we made a fantastic garden with Figaro, Mozart, the director Figaro. It was really great, One of this department we made with Mozart's Divertimenti. And the last thing now I made, and then I got into the the structure of the houses and meet with Mendelssohn's Italian symphony. Yeah? The architects, they made a terrible house. It's unbelievable. It looks like this. It's very, very high. It's this from here. It's 150 meter. Yeah, it's a really big building, four floors, it looks like this. And these are, one architect is building it till here, and the other is building it till here. And then all the stuff sat there, and that had been a clear building. Bah, 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 bah. But you looked at it and you say, nobody can live in it. It's terrible to live in it. Yeah? Yeah. How can I live in this, such a building? Yeah? The man who just gave me the job, he said, "Can you make something out of this building?" I said, "Okay, I do it." And I took the fourth sentence of the thing, and I developed a new technique. I got all this course, and I put this course with colors, and put another paper on it, and copied the colors out of it. Because if you take it once, you see this core with the colors, and if you put another paper on it, you only see the colors. And then I told the architect, I worked 2 days very hard with the architect what I was thinking, and then I put this on this core. On the plan of the house. This core on the plan of the house, you see. And then they began to develop the house. And now it looks absolutely fantastic, because now it's going a little back before, it's just as music is, yeah? It's not a unique thing, not only one great mall and 500 windows in the same way and so on, yeah? But all the colors and the melodies changing and coming back from this side, just as we speak, just as we live, yeah? It's a living building now, yeah? And that's the first way, had been the first way that I now come into architecture. My aim is to build houses coming from a music which has been developed out of musical thinking.
He's our new chief architect
now. One of my...
You know, the last one died, so replace it.
No, but it is part of the purpose of our seminar here to discover possibilities that can be applied in the development of the international zone, for example, that come from an integral consciousness,
yes,
and not just from an architectural consciousness or a social consciousness or some philosophical consciousness.
Yes.
And so this is we finally come to this point, which is very practical and very essential in our process, to begin to discover something that we can make an experience for Aurobindo.
Yeah.
We can enrich the experience of Aurobindo with this kind of knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we don't do that, what is the point?
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we just copy the Epcot Center in America or something?
Yeah. You know, when I come back to this, what I'm speaking before, the architects who are thinking to make it as harmonic systems, they are building rooms in a way, just that they say the length 2 and this 1. That's an octave. But I say 2, 1, for example, with this 2, 1. Huh? That's no octave. You see, that's the same. Each number you can manipulate. You can do other things. These are also 2 things, and that's 1. But that's no octave. Why should a building, which is one row, 2, and the other 1, why should it be an octave? An octave is only working when you put it into sound, and you are coming from the sound to the structure, not from the structure to the sound. That's the difference. You have to have this as a musical approach to the phenomenon, and after the musical approach you can learn how the music is working to get into the structure, not in a different way.
Practical question also that it's in Aravind we have all open space for experiments. In education also, we don't have to align to any curriculums, we can create our own ones. Now, in music education in Aravind, there are a few different people working. Would you have a clear vision what, for instance, in an experimental field with 2,000 people and children from so many different nations and cultures, how, what we could do in music education that actually the different thinking and capacities and technical capacities that could be actually in a core small community that could develop and could be a model for other projects, because we have all the free space basically there. And that's my question again.
It's just again. Just as your question.
I squeeze you on that separately, don't worry.
Hey, we're coming to the end of the morning.
Yeah.
This is a research project we can take.
Yes.
Education is horrible.
Education is a different thing, you know. It's also when I come back to this, what I was learning from India, what I was learning here. When I learned Indian music in the middle 17th, the 20th century. In Stuttgart at a university, there had been a teacher who told us. I got into the philosophy, I bought a sitar, I bought tablas, I had a Nagaswaram, a Chennai, I played it, I had a tambura and so on, I did it and so on. And I liked it very much. And at the end of my studies, we had in the Western this great crisis of pedagogy, for education, called education. We had this really problematic. And in a musical, when you have a real fantastic teacher, and I had two of these in my life. It's like this, what I thought I would get when I would have taught in India, to get a guru who knows it, what's the right thing, where I have to go from, to go to. I had this great fortune that I had a piano teacher who had been exactly this, and I had a composition teacher who had been nearly the contrary of the piano teacher, but also this. And the piano teacher died last year with 94 years old, and he heard me two weeks before he died. He heard me in a concert playing the Stones. He sat just here, and he saw very, very bad. He had, I think, 18 dioptries on each eye. But he sat with 94 years, he sat there, and he always did. And afterwards he said, "Do you think about the music in the material?" I said, "You know." I said, "Sure." That was one of the greatest things. Yeah? It was the end, as the last time I saw him in this way. And I think I wanted to go at the end of my studies in Germany. I wanted to go to India and teach. There are some other circumstances I had that I didn't go to India, and I came back for me, because for 3 years ago I had been the first time here. And I felt as I'm coming home. I came out in Chennai from the aeroplane. being here, because all had been in this way that I was feeling and thinking in this way. I think at the moment, musical education in the Western hasn't any programs which can reach to the level that the Indian classical music has. But it's also necessary to work on it and to find a combination between. that what we at the moment have, that we export our systems to other countries and put it on the structure, that doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. Yeah? For example, with Turkey, with the Sufis, they have their own systems. They are fantastic, and that works very good. I can't give a real sufficient answer for it. I'm working on this theme, and I'm very, very fond that we have now found this cooperation with Kalec Sitra in Chennai and Mozart here in Salzburg. Kalec Sitra, they are working on music, dance and language, and we are also working on music, dance and language. We are working in Salzburg from the thinking of the Greece, and here's the thinking of the India, and we hope to get a cooperation where perhaps there's the ground to find out what could be this global thinking, that there's nothing coming up on one system and says, we have the right to do it.
And the possibility in Narvel to have the synthesis and the laboratory of and to explore and experiment.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 7 more minutes.
Well, I just had a very quick comment. At one point you said that orchestral music has lost its joy because it's set. And then the players just have to play it like that. And there are some forms of music, like Indian classical. And some months ago, there was a group here from the Reunion Islands that were trying to preserve the Creole music. Yeah. And when they were on stage and playing, it was the same as the Indian classical musicians who have eye contact all the time, and they are smiling, and they are encouraging each other and praising each other and giving each other the opportunity to improvise and really the joy of creation.
Yeah.
And so I think that if it's that kind of music, it will continue to live because it's alive. Yeah. It's not set in stone. I don't mean that. But then I also read recently that there was a satellite communication between groups of musicians in different countries who were going to jam. Mm-hmm. One in Morocco and one in New York and one somewhere else. And it was like the first time they had thought about it. But it's obvious that music is going global.
Yes.
And I think it's only the living music that will learn to blend, and there will be fusion. Like several years ago, 20 years ago, I think there was the Ravi Shankar composed music for playing in Russia.
Yeah.
And they had the Russian orchestra and the Indian classical instruments, and they were coming together. So even the orchestra had to come along with the Indian music. It was fantastic. So I think that since music is something that doesn't lie, there's no misunderstanding between international musicians. If they communicate through music, there's no possibility of misunderstanding. And maybe it would form the basis of human unity. The first step in human unity would be through musicians and music coming together instead of people sitting and talking, because that's when arguments arise and misunderstanding. Oh, you didn't understand what I said. No, that wasn't what I said. So maybe Orville could sponsor that kind of thing, or allow that kind of thing, or be a part of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like the connection between Salzburg and Kalec Sitra
is
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Can I this is completely different, sorry. Can you clarify the difference between rhythm and pulse?
Yes.
I didn't quite get that.
Yes. When you all of these terms are things which are in this phenomenon which I call the orders of times. And the rhythm is the repetition of metre.
Set.
Yes. And it's always a, one, two, three, one, two, three. Yes, and it's fun. You find a thing where we have always this, that someone is louder, and someone is quieter. One, two, three, for example. But when you come down before, after the meta, you come down to the elementary form, to the first form of the system, on which all further things are developed. It's the pulse. Yeah, and the pulse is the elementary form of human beings. Yeah, if we have the pulse in our blood, we have it in our brain. Yeah, and that's what's going on. That's necessary. Yeah, the trees and the plants and so on, the animals, they have no rhythms. They have pulse, different forms. Pulse can be in different tempos. It's also a very interesting form of developing in the stones. The big stones have developed in a way of playing it, not in this way, but in this way, for example. They have developed after 10, 11 years working, they have developed for one sound, which has been on one sheet of the stone, they developed pulse. No rhythm, no hierarchy. And for me, pulse is very, very necessary. That's very necessary to think about that. If we are building systems where we have hierarchic systems and all of this, for me, my thinking, that will be all is always the end of it. Because when someone is saying what the other has to do, after some time the other will say what the first will do. Yeah? Yeah? It will change, and if we have this. This cooperation between human beings and find out where all the that no one is going over the limit of these. This is always accepting the limit of it. We can really build new thinking.
Resonating to the pulse.
Yes, the pulse is the ground.
I would like to ask Elizabeth, what's the difference between pulse and rhythm?
You're asking me now, what's the difference? Well, what's coming to me at the moment is pulse is the natural, pulse, beat of each,
living thing.
Living thing, yes. Whereas I guess rhythm is man's structure put on top of them. That's how I understand it.
Is rhythm necessarily a variation in pulse? Or is it just a...
Well, variation is a term in music.
It seems like repetition. Regularity is there in pulse.
But repetition also can be a repetition of rhythm. It can also be a repetition of pulse.
I guess, you know, if you have a regular rhythm like 1, 2, 3, a natural pulse might be in syncopation with that. It might be a little bit after, a little bit before. That's how I understand.
The rhythm is a unit. It's a unit of different pulses.
Yeah. Yes?
That's the first thing. Yeah? But the pulse is not each of the pulses which is in one rhythm, which has a beginning and has an end, like this, is equal. Mm-hmm. They are very different. Because if you take, for example, the three in the music, you have 1, 2, and the three is not equal with the two, for example, and not comparable with the one. Because the three is always the tension to the one. Yeah, you have different. And in the pulse, you have it. In the pulse, you have only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you only have to look at that it's going on in this way. And it's working on in this way. And there's no development. You know that it's going on, and you don't have attention. You don't have one thing which is louder, which is And you have to go against it, as in the syncope or something like this. Yeah, and
but then you have to make a rhythm. To have a measure means that you cut somewhere, you make a difference between one unit and another.
Yeah, let's make an experiment. Okay, at the end. Let's make an at the end of experience. Yeah? You have all your pulse here. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Please take it.
Yes.
You have it?
Yeah.
Okay. I make one sound. Bom. Can you sing it together? Bom. Okay. Remind the sound. And now you take your pulse. And this pulse gives you bom. That's mine.
Okay.
Only with some. Please make it in this way, with your pulse, not with mine. Yeah? It's better not to sit, but walk around. Yeah? Yeah? Remind that sound. Class, you can do it with people, only to get to feel the pulse, yeah? To take one sound, you can then take different sound. In different, you can, what you want in this way, yeah? But you are in this form, you are with yourself, with your human music, with your music inside, you are really in resonance. It's just, and that's what is pulse. And if you say rhythm, you make ba ba ba, then it's good effort. Yeah, that's really really different. You can try it in this way. It's very very easy, but it's very fine.
It's a natural rhythm.
Yeah. No rhythm. Rhythm is hierarchy.
I think what you use the
vibration
also for vibration is basically the vibration of a thing, the basic vibration of a thing.
When we did it with the pupils for the violin, anti-violence training, yeah, we did it. We happen to have a hierarchy. When you have a hierarchy, then you have people who have the force and others who haven't it, and you can't do rhythms. You only have to have pulse, and we always have people who give us on the bottom the pulse.
I would say the rhythm is a pattern of variation that you put on the pulse.
Yes, you are doing different things with the pulse, but the basic is always the pulse, and that's always necessary to find out where I'm coming from, where's my basic, where's my natural basic, where I'm going to. And in this research for the stones, it was for me very, very good to find out that the sound is developing after some years into pulse. It's not making a sound which is just one height, but it's just going in a structure. Okay.